Chapter 7. A Few Quiet Words.
You want a drink?
Gabriel and we were sat in the command tent, winds howling in the dark outside. The walls were old hide, furs upon the floors, the air stifling warm. A fire burned in a stone pit at the tent's heart, and we sat as far from it as we could be, glancing up as Gabriel offered a wooden cup of what smelled like rotten fruit sprayed by drunken tomcats. You jest, we hissed.
I do, actually. You can die of fucking thirst for all I care.
Knocking back the cupful, he poured another. Lifting cup and bottle both, he sat on the furs by the fireside, ash drinker across his lap, fixing me with his father's eyes.
I should kill you right now, Selene.
If you brought us in here to threaten me, save your breath. You survived the fall we gifted you at Cairnhame well enough, so cease your...
Don't fuck with me. I'm not talking about the bridge. I mean the wine.
We blinked at that, a little impressed, I must admit.
That Montfort bottle you just happened to discover in Genoa's cellar,
he pressed.
I've been dreaming of you, Selene. Every quiet thought, every unguarded moment, there you are. Your blood was mixed with that wine, oui? I'm two parts bound to you.
We said nothing, and Gabriel leaned forward, snarling.
You told me Isani, who steal the souls of other vampires, steal their blood gifts, too. You've drunk the soul of Elon, haven't you?
We looked down at my hands, trembling as a scream rang faint within my head. My first communion, the first kith my teacher had me consume. She was barely more than a fledgling. Her name was Victorine. I can still hear her voice in my...
On my Cairnhame bridge, my brother hissed. All those things you whispered while Dior and I argued. You are ruled by wrath. Your anger deepens. You weren't calming me down. You were pushing me with your power you stole, trying to drive a wedge between Dior and me. I raised my fucking hand to that girl because of you.
Do not blame me for...
I blame us both, he spat. I'm no coward to deny my part in what I did. The fall was mine, oui. But you pushed me right to the precipice. Don't deny it.
We do not. I lowered our eyes, lips twisting behind the rags. You said you were taking the Grail to the Highlands. We could not allow that, Gabriel. He shook his head, incredulous.
You poisonous fucking bitch. I told you,
I shouted, rising to our feet.
I told you what was at stake. The salvation of this realm and all the souls therein, including mine.
I tore the rags from my face that he might look upon the horror of it.
I am damned, Gabriel. Do you understand that? Trapped in this world, in this body, forever. A parasite, envying the dead, yet terrified to die. Because when I do, unless the Grail fulfills her destiny, my soul will burn for all eternity. That is what I see when I close my eyes, the abyss awaiting me.
And you blame me for that?
He snapped, rising also.
Not your precious fucking god. Not that petty sadist up there who fashioned this hell for you and named it a life. Seven martyrs, I was a boy, Selene. Lorvos was orchestrating an invasion of the entire Nordland when I burned her in Costa. But you put the blame for your suffering on my shoulders instead of the creator of the fucking universe.
He shook his head, bewildered.
Great Redeemer, sister. What the hell happened to you?
That is a long story, brother.
Well, we have until dawning after a morrow, and you're not leaving my sight.
He sat himself down, knocking back his cup of black.
But if you prefer, we can just sit here and glower at each other till the sun comes up. You've told Dior what I said, I take it?
We are telling her now. She is...
expressing displeasure with you.
Doesn't sound like her.
His scoff faded, jaw clenched.
Are you sure she has things in hand? Because I love Baptiste and Aaron, but if it's a choice between them or her...
She is trying. It is thinnest ice she dances on, and Lily lurks beneath it.
How did Lily do it?
He asked, brow furrowed.
She and Nikita. We know they're using dancer blood, but not where they got it. I thought perhaps since Lily was born of the Moon's Throne, maybe there's something in her veins.
We know not, I sighed. We have been too busy searching for Marin's tomb outside the Dun to watch much within. But the Heartless is at the heart of this, we are certain.
Gabriel shook his head and resigned to wait now. I sank back on our haunches. A lock of hair was glued to the flesh at our throat, and we dragged it loose, slick with dark red. Searching the floor around us, we found the rag I'd cast aside, made to bind it over our face.
You don't have to hide yourself from me, Selene.
I glanced up at that, into Gabriel's eyes.
You're my baby sister, he said. No matter what you look like, or the hateful shit you do, you're the only famille I have left.
We lowered our gaze, rag curled in our cracking fist.
Gabriel offered his cup again.
Sure you don't want a drink?
It tastes like ashes.
The black's no strawberry liquor, granted, but it's not that bad.
Everything does. We met his eyes again. Did you know that? Food, wine, water. It all tastes like ashes to me, ever since that night. Ever since she... I sighed, staring down at our fist. God, I wanted to kill her, to look her in the eyes as she died. Every night in Wulfric's service, I dreamed of taking back what Lore took from me. One more thing you robbed me of, brother. Vengeance.
I didn't know, Selene. I didn't know what she'd done.
You still do not know what she cost me.
I hung our head, hair sticking to our torn flesh once more.
Do you remember when Amelie died? When we were children?
Gabriel nodded, our sister's shadow falling across his eyes.
Of course I do.
I remember the day she disappeared, gathering mushrooms. God, what a thing to die for.
We bit the tatters of our lip, sighing.
I remember when she came back home, the way you fought her, the way you burned her. But most of all, I remember her funeral. After they scattered her ashes at the crossroads, we spoke, you and I. Do you remember?
He shook his head, and my face twisted into what passed for a smile.
Strange, the memories we cherish that others cast aside. We sat on the chapel stoop together, the stink of Amelie's ashes in our hair. I asked you if she was going to hell. You told me you didn't know, and I tried to be content with that. But in truth, I thought Ami dying was my fault. I had a secret, Gabriel, a sin. I thought God was punishing me for it.
You were 11 years old, Helion. What sin would warrant that?
I shook our head, avoiding his question.
You assured me all was well that day.
This is the work of the fallen, you said, and you've nothing to fear from him while I live.
And you got down on your knees then, and you took my hands and said, I am your brother, Selene. If ever you find yourself alone in the dark, but call my name and I will be at your side. You are my only sister now, my blood, my kin. It is you and me against this world, Helion, ever outnumbered, never outmatched.
Gabriel smiled sadly,
eyes shining as he whispered, "Always lions."
"Always lions," I nodded. "God, I adored you. How could I not? Mama filled you with such fire that you filled the room, and I felt warmer just sitting near you. And then you were gone, off on your grand adventure, leaving me in the mud of Lawson."
"What was I to do, Selene?" he demanded. "What could I have done?"
"You could have answered my letters, taken but one moment to pretend you cared. But no, you were busy, I understand. Except you had time to write Mama and ask about your father. You had time for things that mattered to you."
He hung his head, then. We sighed, glancing toward that hateful fire.
"Do you remember what Papa used to call me when I was a girl?"
"Little mountain."
"Steel rusts, ice melts, but stone stands. And that is what we do," he'd tell me. "We endure the unendurable." Quite a thing to be told as a child.
Somewhat less inspiring than, "One day as a lion is worth 10,000 as a lamb." But still, I paid him heed. I did not begrudge my lot, nor bemoan my fate.
No, I resolved to live a life of adventure, like my big brother, whom I so adored. But as I grew older, Mama insisted I give up childish fancy. Even Papa hinted I must soon set aside the girl I was. "Grow up, Selene," was the constant refrain around our dinner table. "God's sakes, grow up!" I knew what they had in mind for me. A little house, a little famille, a little life. "Do you remember Philippe?"
Gabriel nodded, taking out his pipe.
"The mason's boy."
"We used to pick mushrooms together. Nobody went alone after what happened to Amelie. One day, he carved our names into a dying tree, circled with a heart, and I called him adult. And then he kissed me. Philippe wasn't the brightest flame in the bonfire, bless him, but he was a fine distraction, and we walked often in the woods after that, returning with fewer mushrooms than we might have, his lips bruised and leaves tangled in my hair." My brother lit his pipe, red smoke kissing the air as I talked on. "Leon was my plan. A straight run to the coast. If I found no welcome in our grandfather's house, I fancied to take a ship to Dunmergen or Achive. Those distant cities I'd dreamed of as a girl. The adventure I knew awaited me at the edge of the sky. I knew Philippe would come if I asked. But truth was, I didn't want to. You had fled that nest, and so would I, shedding my skin and soaring far as I could into the dark and toward who knew what end, save that it would be more than this." I hung my head, Gabriel watching me, silent and still. That day I lay in Philippe's arms, and I could feel his heart running quicker than usual. We were beneath our tree, and winter's deep was coming, and I'd a mind to leave Lawson before it grew too cold to travel. I knew I'd miss him when I was gone, but that I'd go all the same. Arms open to embrace my future, as Philippe murmured, "Selene, I must ask you something." And he fumbled in his breeches then, drawing out a strip of cloth embroidered with flowers. A troth tie, I realized, to serve on my wrist until it was replaced with the ring. And I saw it then, as I'd always seen it, rushing toward me from Lawson's tiny horizon. "Grow up, Selene. God's sakes, grow up." He started to ask, but I begged him to stop. He was a good boy, Philippe. He'd have made a fine husband. But all of it, the house, the famille, the life, it seemed a kind of hell to me then.
Looking back now, I wonder if I'd have preferred it to the hell waiting. The hell watching.
Bonsoir, sweetlings,
she whispered. We both started at her voice, sitting up in fright, and I saw her in the dark then, staring at me, and my skin prickled with her chill. She seemed a woman in a long crimson cloak, thick red hair spilling down her body. But as she stepped from gloom into light, beneath the shadows of her hood, I saw eyes, black and perilous as oceans.
Lovos,
Gabriel murmured. Philippe asked if she was lost, but she stared yet at me. I rose to my feet then, hand slipping to the knife Papa had given me on my saint's day, and I asked who she was.
But a weary traveller, sweetling, recent from Costa, seeking dear friends in Lorsen. Know thee, the famille de Lyon.
I opened my mouth to speak, and I felt it in my head then, like a whisper, like a kiss. That woman rummaging through my thoughts, my secrets, the images of my mamma and the boy she'd loved so dear, the boy who'd not answered a single one of my letters, but promised to be at my side if ever I called, if ever I found myself alone in the dark. I shouted at Philippe to run, but she was in our heads, shackles of her will, and though I wanted nothing but to fly from that place, she demanded we kneel, and we obeyed, sinking into dead leaves and new snow. And then she showed us her face. Oh, she was a beauty. Flaming hair and lips stained the colour of wine, but her eyes were black and hard as stone, and her skin was marred, cracked and greyed from when you'd burned her, like leather too long in the sun. Her hand snaked out, lifting my chin, and I trembled then, because I knew now those were not wine stains on her lips.
His sister. Oh, this be poetry, sure and true.
Philippe demanded she unhand me, and her eyes fell on the troth tie he'd offered me. She lifted it from the snow, and he roared that it did not belong to her.
To whom, then, should I gift it? This lioness beside thee? Know thee not her plan to flee the stinking mire she was birthed in, and the oafish hands of the mason's brat who thought that he might tame her? Selene Castilla loves thee not, Philippe Ramos.
I screamed at her to stop it, but she only stared at Philippe and smiled.
Look into her eyes and see, boy. Look upon the truth she denied thee. Let thy last sensation neath this wretched sun be that of thy breaking heart.
I begged him not to listen, not to look, but he did, tears in his eyes as he whispered my name, and she crushed his throat, just closed her hand and squeezed. His blood was all over me, and I was screaming, screaming his name, and she sank down before me, smearing his blood on my lips as she shushed me with her finger.
Oh, angel. No tears now, love, but joy. Liberty be thy wish, no? To slip the smothering cell of mud-flecked streets and seek bright nights in places far and flung.
Please, I begged her, hand tightening on my knife. Please.
Kiss me, then. Kiss me, and all thy desires shall I grant thee.
And my stomach rolled as she pressed cold lips to mine. But I was a daughter of de Leon and Castilla both. Little mountain, stone lioness. And as our lips parted, I thrust my knife right into her neck,
All my fear, all my hate was bent behind that blow, but the blade Papa made me only shattered on her skin, and as her hand closed around my throat, I screamed again. Not for my Papa, nor my God. No, I screamed for the boy who promised he'd save me. I screamed for you, Gabriel. She tore my throat out, like a journal page unwanted. I felt bone rip like paper, heard the sound of tearing cloth, understanding it was my skin. And the wraith sank to her feast then, and all would have been pain and fear but for the kiss. That bleak rapture taking hold as her fangs sank home. Horror and euphoria. Terror and bliss. I looked across the flames at the pipe in my brother's hand. Awful, is it not? To love the thing that is destroying you. But she was hungry, at least, Gabriel. Law brought her appetite to Lawson that day. So in the end, it was quick. My brother stared at me in the firelight, drawing on his pipe with shaking hands. I could see the glint of tears in his eyes, his voice thick and graveled as he whispered, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I didn't know, Selene. I didn't understand what they were like, nor the lengths they'd go to for vengeance. But now you do." He nodded, looking at the troth ring on his finger. "Now I do." He breathed red smoke, dragging one hand down his face. I could see he was tired, bruised, the heart of him torn open at all this. Baptiste and Aaron and Dior and me. But like a child staring at the eclipse that is blinding him, he could not look away. "But how did you find the Asani? How did you become this?" He nodded, swallowing. "That." "The sin I spoke of." I sighed, staring into those flames and back on far-flung years. "The one I thought God was punishing me for, my deal with a devil."
"I don't understand. What devil, Selene?"
"The first vampire I ever met." Gabriel frowned.
"Amelie?"
"She, no, not our sister, Gabriel." I sighed. "I was 11 years old when poor Ami was murdered, but I was 10 the first time I met him." My brother's brow darkened, suspicion creeping in on slippered feet. And though I think he knew the answer already, still he asked, staring yet at that eclipse.
"Met who, Selene?"
"Your father, of course."